Well, please take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Matthew once again. Matthew chapter 20 this time. Matthew chapter 20. We were in Matthew 21 this morning, and we are going to look at another parable in Matthew chapter 20 this evening. Matthew chapter 20. Now, this morning we looked at the parable of the two sons, and tonight we are going to look at the parable of the two servants. This morning we looked at the Lord's rebuke to the religious who thought that they were doing God a favor by putting Christ in his place. They certainly were not saved and they were not serving God. They were the religious crowd, and the Lord rebuked them for their lack of repentance. Now tonight we're looking at the two groups of servants in this parable. This is the address to those who are serving the Lord, those who are saved, those who are serving God. And certainly we can learn some lessons from this parable tonight. Matthew chapter 20, let's please follow along as I read verses 1 through to 16. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire labourers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the labourers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when the even was come, the steward, he said, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the labourers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Verse 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing upon your word this evening. Lord, help us as the song which we've just heard, Lord, have a heart's desire for you. Help us to love you more than any other. And Lord, help us to serve you with a right heart. And teach us, Lord, through your word to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we look at this parable of the two servants, you may have read this parable before and wondered what exactly the Lord was teaching through these verses. Now, as we look at this parable, remember the key to finding out why the Lord is saying these words and whom he's speaking to is to understand the context where the parable lies. What are the verses before? And what are the verses after? Is the Lord speaking to the religious crowd? Is he speaking to the unsaved? Or in this case, is he speaking to his disciples? Now, just to give you a little bit of background before we get into the lessons to learn, as the Lord was speaking, as we look at verse number 27, notice the question Peter asked the Lord. Chapter 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? So you see, the Lord was teaching this parable to his disciples. Why? Because Peter asked a question and the Lord was answering that question. Why did Peter ask the Lord, "What shall we have, Lord, we who have forsaken all?" Well, if you go back a few verses, you'll notice that the Lord previously had been talking to a rich young man. And this rich young man asked the Lord a very excellent question. I wish it was a question we heard more often. He said to the Lord, Lord, what shall I do to have eternal life? What shall I do? And the Lord, in the next verse, challenged him about his sins. And this young rich man said to the Lord, "Lord, I'm blameless. I've kept all your commandments without spot." Okay, well, that wasn't true at all. Then the Lord picked on one that he knew he did not keep. And he brought to mind this rich man's wealth, his covetousness, the fact that he loved money, and challenged him about his love for money. And in the end, in verse 22, he walked away sorrowful because he had much goods and he was worried about losing what he had if he turned to Christ as Savior, if he turned to God. And isn't that one of the main reasons people don't turn to Christ in this day? Because they're worried about what they're going to lose. They're worried that if they repent of their sin and put their faith in Christ the Savior, that they'll lose everything good in their life. You know, that's what I was worried about as a young adult who was lost in the world. I was worried that I'd lose all the good things in my life, when in fact the truth was I didn't have anything good happening. At the end of the day, I was in trouble, big trouble. And it's only the God of the universe that can provide all things that are joyful and good. And this young man went away, but you see, he went away back to his wealth. He got to keep his money. He went away back to his riches. Maybe he had a large house. Maybe he had a large estate. We don't know, but he was very, very wealthy. Now remember, the disciples were watching all this. And they were all thinking the same thing, but Peter, who always put his foot in his mouth, was the one to speak up on everyone's behalf. And so he asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, this rich man, he got to go back to his wealth. And he's living it up. And so, hang on a second, what are we going to get? Lord, what are we going to be rewarded with if we have forsaken all in this life for you and followed thee? What shall we have therefore?" And so the Lord goes on to teach his disciples and those who desire to serve him, like us today, some lessons about serving the Lord. He teaches us a parable about the two kinds of servants in this world. And goes on and gives them a wonderful parable, a wonderful lesson about the Lord's promised rewards in this life and the eternal rewards in the next. And the Lord answers the question of the disciples in verse number 4 when he says in the parable, "Whatsoever is right, I will give you." You see, this parable is not about salvation. It's about you and I having the right kind of attitude in our Christian service. And you see, Peter and the disciples at this point in time didn't have the right attitude. They were thinking about what they were going to get. What will they get out of serving God? "Lord, we've forsaken you. What shall we have?" And they had missed the point. So the Lord tells them about a man, a master of the house, who no doubt represents the Lord Jesus. And he went down into a place to hire laborers. He had a big job to do, and he was looking for laborers, and he hired some servants. But there were different groups of servants. First of all, he hired some servants, just as a little background. We need to understand, he hired some servants before the workday began. They were the first lot of servants. And then they were the ones who asked, "What shall we get for working for you?" Notice verse number 2. "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." So before they were going to go to work, they asked the master, "What are we going to get?" And they had to agree for a penny. Before they would work, they wanted an agreement. And I wonder if the Lord caught Peter out of the corner of his eye, having asked this question, "What shall we have therefore?" And he caught him out of the corner of his eye, because he knew that Peter had asked for all the disciples, "What shall we have, therefore?" You see, it was like Peter was saying, "Well, Lord, we will serve you, but what are we going to get? We want to know. We want to know ahead of time." Now, the second group follows. In verses 3 and 4, the master went out at 9 o'clock, and then he went out when the workday was already underway and hired them. But notice that they didn't agree for anything. The master said, verse 4, "Whatsoever is right, I will give you." And they went their way. They didn't demand anything. They didn't ask for anything. They just trusted in the faithfulness of the householder, the master. Then about noon in verse number 5, and then at 3, the master did the same thing. No agreement was made. He told them he would pay whatever was right. And then about the 11th hour, now we still use that saying today, don't we? The 11th hour, 1 hour before the workday ended, the master, the goodman of the house, hired some more servants. They only worked for 1 hour, but they went, they served in the vineyard, and he said, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, ye shall receive." Now here is the controversy. At the end of the day, every single one of them was paid the same amount. The same amount. Now why is that? What does the Lord want us to learn from this parable? Well, very simply, let's begin in Matthew chapter 20. That's the background. Matthew chapter 20. What is the first lesson we learn? Well, first of all, we learn that the Lord is looking for laborers. Amen? The Lord is looking for laborers. We need to not skip past this point and get to what you might be wondering, why they were all paid the same. First of all, the Lord is looking for laborers. And let's pick up where we were this morning as we spoke about service leading to surrender. Friends, the master of the vineyard, the Lord, has a big job to do. And he has included you and I in the wonderful work of God. And this evening he is looking for laborers. He is looking for laborers that will be willing to give up their own plans, their own desires and their own dreams and enjoy the supernatural work of God. He is looking for laborers this evening. Matthew chapter 9, notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, a few chapters back. As the Lord looked upon the multitude of people before him, notice how his heart was moved in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Why don't we read these verses together out loud? Matthew chapter 9, and verse 37 and verse 38. On two. One, two. "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You see, the vineyard, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And so the Lord of the harvest is looking for laborers. He's looking for those that would serve the master. And later in another parable, the parable about the sower, sowing the seed, some fell on good ground, some did not. The Bible tells us that the field is the world. Friends, there is a great vineyard. There is a great harvest field. And first of all, we need to understand that the Lord is looking for laborers. Laborers are needed. How does the Lord get his message into the world? Well, every nation in the world needs the gospel. Would you agree? You can say amen. Every nation in the world needs the gospel. Every state in our nation needs the gospel. Is that right? Not just Far North Queensland. Every state in Australia needs the gospel. Every street in our neighbourhood needs the gospel. Friends, there is a great vineyard out there. How does the Lord get his message, the gospel, into our world? Well, he uses those who have believed the gospel to take the message of salvation to those who have not believed. Now, that's pretty clear. That's pretty simple. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and we are to tell people who have never heard, or those who need to hear it again. But the point is this, laborers are needed. Laborers are needed. And the Lord of the harvest is looking for laborers tonight to enter into his vineyard and to work for him. But service leads to surrender. There must be surrender. Let me ask you this evening, if you are a Christian here tonight, has there been a point in your life that you surrendered to serve the Lord? Now, don't misunderstand, salvation and surrender are two separate things. Two separate things. Salvation is a once and for all act of God upon which we repent and put our faith in Christ for salvation. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. We are saved once and for all, and our home is settled forever in heaven. Salvation is a once and for all. But surrender is a daily choice. It's a daily choice. And it begins when you and I turn over our lives to God and we say to the Lord, like the Apostle Paul of old, Lord, what would you have me to do? Maybe surrendering to the Lord is something that you need to choose to do. Surrendering to serve Him in His vineyard. You know, think about all that this church could do if each and every one of us was a witness for the Lord. Imagine if each and every one of us simply handed out an invitation to people we meet on a regular basis. Imagine if each and every one of us came letterboxing. Imagine if each and every one of us went door knocking. Imagine what a mighty arm this church would be if we all chose to be laborers in the vineyard. Amen? The Lord uses His people, and laborers are needed. Laborers are needed. Now, this parable back in Matthew chapter 20, before we go on, reveals something about the heart of some servants. You see, in verse number 1, the householder went out early in the morning to hire laborers. And verse number 2 tells us that before these laborers went out, they had to agree on their wages. They would not go out until they agree. That's the message that we receive here in verse number 2. The first group of laborers said, wait a minute, we'll go into the vineyard, but not until we know what we're going to get. That might have sounded like much what Peter was saying. We'll go out into the vineyard, but what are we going to get from it? And yes, we want to serve, but what's in it for me? You see, this reveals an attitude, a wrong attitude, that we need to be careful of. You see, serving the Lord is not always convenient. In fact, serving the Lord may be the polar opposite, young people, of your plans and your dreams for your life. It may very well be. But that's not a bad thing. But you see, if you're like this first group of laborers, you're going to be in trouble. Because they had the attitude, well, until it's convenient for me, I'm not going to serve. Until I know what I'm going to get, or until I can see how my life will unfold, I'm not going to go and serve. You see, they had the wrong attitude. And we can also be the same. We can also be the same in the work of the Lord. You know, it's not until I finish high school that I'll serve the Lord. When I finish high school, that's when I'm going to serve God. That's when I'll surrender to the Lord. No, the Lord wants us to serve Him now, right now where we're at. No, I'm not going to serve the Lord until I finish university. No, the Lord wants us to serve right now. He wants us to serve Him in the vineyard today. Well, I'm not going to serve God until I get a job, until I make my first 100,000, until I buy a house, until I get married, until I get stable, until I have children, until I retire, and so on and so on. You and I can think of 1,000 different excuses why we are not serving God. But friend, these excuses don't cut it with God, because He is looking for laborers. The householder went out early in the morning to look for servants. And we need to be like the second group. What was the second group like? Well, the householder called them and hired them, and they didn't even ask what they were going to get. They just went willingly into the vineyard. Amen. They went willingly. They went joyfully. Why? Because they trusted in the householder that He will give them whatsoever is right. Amen. The focus wasn't on what they were going to get. The focus was on the blessing of having a wonderful work to do. Amen. And being a part of it. See, there was a big difference. But first of all, before we get on into that, laborers are needed. Laborers are needed. Let me encourage you to serve the Lord. Amen. Let me encourage you to serve God. Wherever he has put you, there is a mission field for you. In your workplace, in your community, in this church, in this city, amen, in your relatives and families' lives, there is a mission field. But we need to be in the vineyard, at work, sowing the seed of the gospel. Laborers are needed. Now notice next, and here is the problem that the Lord draws out in this parable, the next wrong attitude, is that looking at others is wrong. Looking at others is wrong. Now, why did Peter ask the question in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27? Because he was looking at the rich man. He was comparing themselves to him. Wow, this unsaved guy gets to go back to his wealth. And Lord, we've given up. I've given up my nets. I gave up my business, Peter might have thought. You know, Lord, you said, come after me. And I forsook all my nets, not hanging on to anything. And Lord, we really don't have anything. We have, you know, just the clothes on our back, the food that we'll have. Well, Lord, you have to provide it. We don't have anything. We've given up all. What shall we get then? You see, he was looking at others. And you know, there are times in our lives that we do the same thing, don't we? That we even envy the lost. That we envy what others have. Have you ever looked at someone else's life who may not even be a Christian and said to yourself, why do they look so happy? They have so much money. They don't even know what to do with it. They've got so much money. They're always going on holidays and cruises and they love to tell me about it. And they're filthy rich. They're not even saved. Seems like the blessings of heaven are pouring out upon their heads from God. And what do I get as a Christian? Well, I get trials. I get persecution. I even get the chastening hand of God in my life. And what do they get? They get to enjoy their riches. They've got a mansion right now. They've got their wealth. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever thought that way? I think we all have. You know, Psalm chapter 73 is the answer to that problem. Asaph envied the wicked. He envied the prosperity of the wicked in Psalm 73. But then the light turned on halfway through the psalm. When he went into the place of worship and he understood the spiritual reality that the moment the wicked breathe their last breath, it's over. The fun is over. The riches are gone and they will spend an eternity in the worst place known to man. Friends, we need to get our perspective right. We need to make sure that we don't look at what others have and what we do not have. We need to make sure we keep our eyes upon the Lord. Now, Peter had gotten distracted. He had seen this rich man and he had seen him walk away from the Lord. And he said to himself on behalf of the disciples, well, what are we going to get compared to him? Well, he was looking at others. And that's a wrong attitude. That kind of attitude will stop you and I from living by faith, from trusting in the Lord. You know, I remember Brother Huey mentioned to me a little while ago that someone came to his door, I think, selling a raffle ticket and, you know, win lots of money. And Brother Huey didn't want to buy one. And this young lady, I think you told me, brother, she was shocked. Why wouldn't you want to enter this competition? Don't you want to win all this money? And Brother Huey very soberly told her the answer. He said, if I won that money, it would probably ruin me. I wouldn't know what to do with it, you know. And friend, you might think that the best thing in life for you might be to win the next lotto and to win $2 million, $3 million. But guess what? God knows better. He knows that most of us wouldn't be able to handle money like that. And it would ruin us as Christians. It would destroy us. We'll become covetous. You see, the Lord knows what we need. And we need to trust him for it. We need to be careful not to look upon what others have. What others have. For example, those who are lost. And by the way, they are not as happy as you think they are. Riches cannot bring happiness. Be careful, young people, into believing the lie that riches equals a smile on your dial. It does not. It will for a little while until you realize that every city in the world is exactly the same, basically. They look a little bit different. They might have a little bit of a different smell. Basically the same. Museums, old buildings, old cobbled streets, lots of people. Some of you have got your eyes on the world. Well, I want to travel. I want a lot of money for it so I can travel. Well, travel doesn't bring happiness. Money doesn't bring happiness. It's the Lord that can only provide true joy. And looking at others is wrong. Looking also at other laborers is wrong. So looking at those who are not saved is wrong. Envying the prosperity of the wicked. They will have their day at the great white judgment throne. And you can say amen. Thank God we will not be there and be judged at that throne. Thank God we've escaped through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no reason to envy the wicked. There's much reason to get out with the gospel in the vineyard. Looking at other laborers is also wrong. You see, this was the problem here in the parable in Matthew chapter 20. So the first group, at the end of the day, when payment was being given out, what did they do? Well, they were watching what everyone was getting paid, weren't they? So they began with the last group. The last group that only worked for how long at the end of the day? 1 hour at the 11th hour, were paid a penny. Shock, horror. They got a penny and they only worked an hour. Then the next group, who started at 3 and then at 9, well, what did they receive? They received a penny too. And the first group said to the householder, hang on a second, we have borne the heat of the day. We've worked all day and all we have got is a penny. Now, if you've got your financial hat on this evening, you might have reason to say that's not fair. Those that work for the whole day should have gotten more. Those who work for just 1 hour at the end of the day should have received less. Isn't that how things work? Well, financially, that's how things work. But not spiritually. Spiritually, God's economy is very different. If we put our faith hat on, we'll understand what the Lord is saying in verse number 13. Look there with me. Are you still with me tonight? Matthew chapter 20, verse 13. But he answered one of them that was complaining and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? You see, the householder, did he unfairly deal with the first group, yes or no? No, he didn't. They agreed for a penny, didn't they? They wouldn't go to work without the agreement being set in place, and they got what they asked for. They received a penny for the day. But what they were doing was complaining that they should have received more. They should have gotten more. What were they doing? They were envying the other laborers. They weren't thankful for what they received. And that revealed the heart that was within them. They were simply serving because of what they could get, rather than being thankful and understanding that it's a wonderful privilege for them to serve at all, for them to be laborers in the vineyard. Amen. You see, they were complaining, and they had no right to complain, because the Lord gave them what they had agreed for. He gave them a penny. Well, they didn't have the right attitude in the beginning, and that's why they're complaining now. But they had no argument, because the householder kept his promise. And they were unthankful. You know, they should have been thankful that they were hired. Amen? They should have been rejoicing that they had the privilege of being part of this householder's, this great householder's great work. They should have been thankful. In fact, the other groups, they were thankful. They were simply willing to go, trusting that the householder will give them that which is right, that which is worthy, that which is honourable, that which is due. They trusted him. They weren't serving the master out of a heart of thankfulness and gratefulness and love. They were serving because of what they thought they could get. And there's a problem in our Christian lives. When you and I look at other labourers, other Christians serving the Lord, we need to be very careful. We need to ask ourselves, why am I serving God? Am I serving God because I want to get something out of it? Or am I serving God because He deserves my life? Am I serving God because He loved me more than anyone else? Am I serving God because I desire to honour Him with my life? Christian, it's our divine honour to serve the Lord. It's our divine honour to live for the Lord. We need to have the second group's attitude because they trusted in the Master's goodness. And let me warn you that there is a danger of envying others. You see, that's what this first group did. They envied others. They envied those that were given as much as they were. You see, what the householder did, he didn't give them a wage. He gave them a reward. That's the only way to understand this parable. Why did the last group get as much as the first group? Because it was a reward. It wasn't a wage. A wage is equal to the amount you work. It was a reward for being involved in the vineyard, in the work of the householder. And they were complaining about how the last group got as much as the first. Hey, that's unfair. And we need to be careful as we serve the Lord that looking at others is wrong. The Bible says comparing ourselves to one another is unwise. It's unwise. Why? Well, look with me carefully. Envying others leads to murmuring against God. Did you realize when you are jealous of another Christian and what they're doing for the Lord and how the Lord may be blessing them, you are in fact murmuring against God. Notice verse number 11. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 11. And when they had received it, their one penny, they murmured against the goodman of the house. You see, our murmuring, our complaining, is not just a complaint, it's a complaint against God. Why? Because notice what the Bible says in verse 15. The householder says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Would you agree that God has the right to bless those whom he chooses to? And to hold back from those he chooses to? And he has the right to do that in our lives? And whatever we receive of the Lord, we ought to be thankful for. And we need to be careful not to envy others when God chooses to bless them and not us at a certain time in our lives. They murmured. They were complaining servants. They were jealous. And that's why they didn't serve the Lord with the right heart. That's why the first group was in fact last. And the last was first. Because their heart was not right with the Lord. They were serving just because of what they could get. And as Christians, we need to be careful. If you envy others, if you start complaining and saying, well, why does brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so have this and I don't have that? And look, I'm a Christian too. How come I haven't been blessed in the same way? Well, friends, it is the Lord's business to do that which he wills with our lives. And we need to be careful not to envy. Because when we do, we're murmuring against God. Notice next, envying others is evil. Verse 15. We've already read this verse in verse 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? You see, when they envied others, they looked at the Lord's reward and blessing upon the last group especially. They looked at that as being evil. They saw that as being unjust. Unfair. How can the householder give them as much as he gave us? That's not right. But they got what they agreed for. Why were they complaining? Because they were envying. They were jealous. They did not have the right heart of a servant. And they accused the Lord of being unfair. And friends, when you and I get to the place where we think that God is unfair and we've been unjustly treated, that is a thought from the pit of hell. God is holy. He will never do that which is wrong. He cannot. God, which cannot lie, the Bible tells us. God, who always does all things right, and he does so for our good. You see, there are times in our lives that God allows a blessed season of leanness. Have you ever been through a season of leanness? Where the blessings are not pouring down from above, as you might like, but God has allowed you to go through a time of less in a certain area. It's what I would call a season of leanness. It could be financially. It could be in your health. It could be perhaps in an area of your life where things are not going forward as they might be in another Christian's life. And they're being blessed in those areas. They may have just got a job and you've been praying for work for a whole year. How is that fair? Well, you see, the goodman of the house knows what He's doing in our lives. He knows what we need. And when you and I start envying others, we're in big trouble. Because our murmuring is against God. Our murmuring is evil. We're calling God unfair. We're calling God wicked. That's why it's so unwise to compare ourselves with one another. We need to keep our eyes upon the Lord. Envying others will also ruin your Christian life. Notice verse 16. So the last, well, they shall be first. And the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. You see, the last were chosen to be rewarded. The first, well, because of their wrong attitude, because they were first in their own eyes, they just got what they agreed for. They did not receive a reward. They just received the agreed amount. But the last and the others received a reward for their labours. And those that are just thankful, those that simply love the Lord and trust in His goodness will be blessed. Now, I dare say if this was a warning to Peter and the disciples, it's a warning for us tonight. We need to make sure that our service isn't based upon what we can get out of it, and we don't become jealous and envious of other servants. We need to be careful that the reason that we're not serving is because we should have had that role. You know, there are Christians that might envy another who's serving in a specific area of ministry. They might be asking the question, well, I should have been serving that area. You know, I've got gifts and talents in that area. Why wasn't I asked to serve? By the way, most of the time, I don't ask anyone to serve. They put their hand up and say, Pastor, what can I do? And I say, great, here's an area of need, by the way. Just a little insight. But the reality is, we can become jealous if we're not careful. Jealous. Why haven't I been asked? Why haven't I been given that role of service? And envy is perhaps a reason why many aren't serving the Lord. Friends, there's plenty to do. There is a whole vineyard out there. Amen. The Lord is looking for laborers, but envy will cripple your service for God. Why? Because looking at others is wrong. Looking at others is wrong. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. How? Well, notice the last truth. The Lord is trustworthy. This is the one great truth in this parable. The Lord is trustworthy. Notice verse number 4. And the householder said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. Let's say it together. And whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Christian, if we are going to serve the Lord, we need to put our faith in the fact that God is trustworthy. We may not know what the road ahead holds. We may not know what the will of God completely is for our lives. But one thing we do know is we can trust the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We can trust the Lord. If we're envying others, we are not trusting God. We are doubting God. We are calling God evil by not giving us what is due. But friends, God knows how to reward His own. Amen. God knows how to provide for His own. And it won't always be the same as another servant at exactly the same time. But the Lord is trustworthy. Whatsoever is right, I will give you. And there was Peter's answer. Peter said to the Lord in verse 27 of chapter 19, Lord, we've forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And the Lord said, whatsoever is right, I will give you. Don't worry about anyone else. I think the disciples had a little problem in that area, just like you and I. Looking at others, looking at other Christians, what they have, comparing them with ourselves, what we don't have in different areas of our lives. Looking at others is wrong. We need to look to the householder. We need to understand that whatsoever is right, He will give us. He will provide for our needs. You know, when we are going through tough times, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. You know, there's nothing more discouraging than becoming envious of another Christian who's being blessed when we are doing it tough. Is that right? Have you ever struggled with that? I know I have. You know, during a trial, during a difficulty, and you're struggling with your faith, you're struggling to make ends meet, if you will, financially. And then there's another Christian and they're being blessed. And you think to yourself, what have I done wrong? I'm serving the Lord too. How does this work? Well, the problem is our heart. We're envying someone else. We don't trust that at every moment of life, as we serve God, He will do justly with us. He will treat us fairly. He will treat us right. I think there's too much envying going on among Christians. What we have, what we don't have. Friends, that's not the point. The point is getting into the vineyard and doing the work of the God, the Lord, and rejoicing that sinners like you and I are even worthy to be called, let alone to be chosen for great rewards. What an amazing truth. See, when you and I start to complain, we've lost sight that we don't even deserve to serve the Lord at all. Would you agree? When you and I start to complain and murmur, oh, we don't know have what we deserve, friends, what a lie. We have everything the Lord requires, the Lord justly gives to us. And we need to serve Him faithfully. We need to trust in Him. The Lord is trustworthy. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? The Lord is trustworthy. And for many Christians, this is a stumbling block. They're not serving because they may not be as blessed in their family or in their wealth or in their health. And they don't know how to get over this stumbling block. Well, the problem is that envy. Envy has to be confessed as a sin and removed. And that heart needs to change into a right attitude and an attitude of gratefulness and saying, thank you, Lord, for being even willing to use me. And then just a little thought to close. Not only do we need to trust Him, who is trustworthy in the tough times, but we need to praise Him, who blesses us also. You know, it wasn't right for this first group to envy those who were blessed, but likewise, it wouldn't be right for those who were blessed not to say anything because they were worried about the first group and how they would feel. You see, God does bless us, does He not? He does bless us, and it's not right for you and I to keep back the praises of God when He does. When He blesses us financially, we ought to praise Him. When He blesses us with an opportunity, we ought to praise Him. When He blesses us with His goodnesses, we ought to speak up and praise the Lord. You know, sometimes, let's be honest, we don't say something out loud and share with other brethren that perhaps He provided me a job because there's another brother who's praying for a job too and he hasn't got one yet. So what do? Well, we keep that blessing to ourselves. We don't openly rejoice. Isn't that true? Because we're worried about what other people think. And if God's doing something great in our life, sometimes we keep that back, don't we? Just a little thought to close off with. Sometimes we don't rejoice because we're worried that others might envy us. So we keep it to ourselves. Friends, that's not healthy for the church. We need to see one another being blessed, do we not? The Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but what? Exhorting one another. Sometimes God will bless you, amen. Sometimes God will bless me. He'll choose the timing for that. We ought not to envy one another. If the Lord blesses you, we ought to say, praise God, what an answer to prayer. Praise God, what a blessing. That's how we ought to be as a church. Not backbiting and gossiping and envying and wanting more. The disciples had that problem. Thank God they worked it out. And what did they do? They went into the vineyard, and here we are today. And if the Lord's going to use Coastline Baptist Church, we need to throw envy out the window. We need to throw jealousy out the window and get rid of it. And look to the Lord, the author and finisher of our faith, and serve God, believing that whatsoever is right, He will give us, and we don't deserve anything at all. Anything He gives us will be a bonus, as we should say. Anything will be a reward, because we deserve nothing less than judgment. Friends, don't hold back the blessings. If God has blessed you, come on Wednesday night to prayer meeting and let us know out loud. Amen. Let us rejoice together. Share it with another Christian. Our children need to know, need to see the blessings of God. Amen. I don't think anyone here is living on the street in a cardboard shack. But sometimes we like to pretend that's what we are like. Well, God's not blessing me at all. Praise God. I'm a servant of God. You know, I'm doing without, and that means I'm spiritual. No, He does bless us. In fact, the Bible tells us, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Daily, He loads us with benefits, His blessings. If we would simply take notice and take our eyes off other people and put our eyes upon Jesus Christ. You see, these two groups of labourers are contrasted with one another. Those who had the wrong attitude, they were just serving God by what they could get, standing around until there was an agreement made, making excuses. Friend, labourers are needed. Are you still making excuses to surrender your life wholeheartedly to God? I trust through these series of messages on God's will and serving God, you'll surrender your life afresh and say, Lord, I trust in your goodness. I know that your plan will be much better than my plan. Lord, I know that your blessings will be much greater than the things that I've planned out and mapped out for myself. Lord, help me to trust in you. The Lord needs labourers. Looking at others is wrong. Envy will ruin you and I. Murmuring is murmuring against God. Let's keep our eyes upon the Lord. Amen. And lastly, let's trust in him. He will reward us. And here's the encouraging truth. Not according to the perfection of our work, but according to the measure of his goodness. That's what we see repeated in the Word of God. The Lord said, hey, you give out a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward. Who deserves a reward for giving out a cup of water? Not in this day. No one. Someone would just say, oh, good on you, mate. Well done. What does the Lord say? He says, you're going to be rewarded. Why? Because he rewards us according to his goodness. What an exciting life there is to live as a Christian in serving God. What an exciting expectation we have at the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord wants us to go there excited. He wants us to go there expecting rewards that would honour his name and glorify him. See, he wants us to serve him with a willing heart and know what it means to be a true servant. Verse number 27 in Matthew chapter 20. Let's close with this verse. As the disciples still struggled with who will be first, who will be preeminent in heaven, notice what the Lord said in verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. The Lord has called us to be servants. Servants of God. Let's serve him with our lives. Let's do so acceptably. Amen. For the honour and glory of God.